Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Thursday, December 13th, and we had a popular request tonight for a replay of a show. It was one that the fans really seemed to like. It was the first time that Danny joined in and did some analysis and everything like that with us. So we are going to do that for this evening's show. We would like to pass along our condolences, though, from the staff of Garage Talk Live, the Girls Getting the Facts, and the crew from Low Down and Dirty. It's with sad news that we found out of the passing of Mrs. Schooler today, and we wanted to pass along our condolences to Mike and to Rudy and the entire family and team. So please know that our thoughts and prayers are with you guys. But for now, we're going to do a replay. We're going to thank Cadence Candles for their support this evening. Please don't forget to check them out, KADEN-S Candle Company on Facebook. And with that, please enjoy tonight's show.
We'll be right back.
two-time champion Jimmy Johnson. I know we still have four races to go, but, I mean, you look at your top, well, basically, I mean, your top two, Brad and Jimmy, because they're 7 points apart, and then you drop back 20 more points to Denny, 25 back to Clint, 30 back to Casey. And then, I mean, theoretically, sixth place. I mean, they're all still hanging in there, 11th and up. I mean, they're 62 points back. One bad week could shuffle them all around. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on the chase, and what do you see everybody doing from here?
For me, I think it's for Brad to lose. As long as Brad keeps up what he's doing, he's pretty much going to win it. But if he screws up or his crew screws up, then it's going to be on them. It's Brad's to lose.
And what about, like, I mean, Casey's sitting back there in fifth. I mean, or Denny Hamlin. I mean, he's hungry for a championship, too. He's only 20 points out.
Denny, maybe. Casey, nah. It's down to the final few. Jimmy Johnson, I think he's still in it. Like I said, if Brad screws up, then Jimmy might have a chance. I'm hoping Brad doesn't screw up.
I think that would be neat to see him win the championship. I mean, he seems like a good guy. He's very humble and everything, and appreciative of everything around him, too. So I think that would be great to see him win. I don't want to get my hopes up, though, with four races to go and jinx him, though, either.
Yeah. I'm up the stands right now. I mean, it's only 7 points, but one bad finish. And same way with Dane, Clint Boyer, I think they're still in it somewhat, but they're going to need a lot of luck on their side. They're going to need some wins, and they're going to need Brad and Jimmy to get a DNF.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Jimmy crashed last week, and yet he still came in the top 10.
I know what Jimmy stepped in, but whatever he stepped in, I want to find it with the luck he gets in this sport, you know?
Yeah, it's unreal.
No matter what, he always seems to be able to pull it off, and I don't know, they're always there at the end, and I guess that's the one good thing about the team is that, you know, they are always there at the end. They can always battle back and overcome whatever obstacles they have in front of them. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to hang in there for sixth or if we're going to have somebody new. I mean, any of them, Brad, Denny, or Clint, they're all still within striking distance. If anybody has a bad week, you know, we could have a first-time champion in our hands. And then we got on the nationwide side of things, too. I mean, that's 6 points between first and second, between Elliott Sadler and Ricky Stenhouse. We've got battles all across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be interesting if next year they do a chase for nationwide. I know they won't do it, but I'm starting to get into this whole chase thing. You know, put your top drivers and let them have at it. But maybe
I like the old version better. I will honestly say I like the old version better. And you know how a lot of these teams are complaining about sponsorship and trying to find sponsors. This chase thing hurt a lot of teams with that. Because why would a sponsor want to sponsor a team that's not in the top? Because all these TVs, they're only going to focus in on the chase contenders.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, where before it was like each race.
I mean, what would you think, though? I think maybe it would change up, too, with the way they have their points different now. You know, that would change definitely the way they run. I mean, there's only 1 point separating each place. It's not 10 bonus points on the line. It's 1 or 2 bonus points on the line. You know, I think that would really shake it up, too, if we went back to the old way that they did the points for the year.
I like the old style there, but I do like the bonus points and how they're only doing, like, 1 point per position. I do like that idea, but I'm just not a big fan of the chase. And it's because, you know, the sponsorships, they just write in the contract, hey, you don't make the chase, we're pulling our sponsor.
That's true. You know, It's also, the only bad thing is that's a risk you take, though, when you get into motorsports and sponsorship and everything. But, you know, it's also a gamble, but it can be a good gamble if you get the right driver.
Yeah, but 43 positions, it's, I'm not talking about, like, just per team. I'm talking about NASCAR as a whole.
True.
I don't think it.
Now, did you hear, too, they're talking, I'm not sure if it's official or not. It's, like I said, I've been sick, so this is the first time I really turned the computer on other than being at work. What they're saying that they're going to cut some of the starting spots out of Nationwide for next year. They're going to go down to 40. That was one of the latest rumors I heard. I'm not sure if I can get anything to confirm it on that or not, but
I haven't heard that one yet.
Let's see.
But I wouldn't be surprised, since a lot of these races, if Cup guys ain't in it, they can't fill up the field.
Yep, it's going to be 40 cars next year. It's going to go from 43 to 40 cars for the starting field in 2013 on Nationwide. NASCAR is going to cut out the top 35 qualifying rule. What do you think of that?
For our series or just the Nationwide?
Starting next season, the top 35 cars at owner's points will no longer be guaranteed a starting spot in the Sprint Cup field. They will use a 36-6-1 format in which the 36 fastest cars make the race on speed. Next, six highest-ranking cars at owner's points not already qualified get a starting spot, followed by the most recent eligible past champion driver.
So basically, they're going back to the old rules.
Yep, yep, they're going...
Yeah.
You race your way in. You are not guaranteed. I mean, I guess theoretically, if you're top five and you don't make it on speed.
Yeah, there's still provisional spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, and that rule started when Richard Petty didn't make the field.
Yep.
1 year.
Chuck.
So basically, yeah, they're going back to the old rule. They're not. This is nothing yet. They're just going back to the way it used to be.
See, trucks are staying at 36 for the starting, so there's no change in that. Qualifying order will now be based on random draw instead of practice speeds. If qualifying is rained out, the field will be set by the rule book, but starting order for the race will be determined by practice speeds. Last year's owner's points will be used to set provisionals for the first three races. So only the first three races you can use last year's points to still make it.
I think that's changed because it used to be the first five races.
Yep, it used to be the first five. Teams were banned from testing at NASCAR tracks since 2009 for a cost-cutting move, but next year they will be allowed to test, allowed four tests at tracks that NASCAR's hold races at. So they can do up to four tests at any track they want.
And they did that before. Yeah, they're just going back to the rules that they had in the 90s.
Yep.
They did have, like, a limited testing. You can do these tracks and all that. And then some of the smaller teams were complaining about how these bigger teams, and it was mainly Roush, Hendrick, and Richard Childress, how, oh, yeah, each team can go. So they would spend so many races. So, like, one car would do these tracks, another car would do those tracks, and so forth. So they stopped testing and limited how many cars can be in a stable.
Now, see, I'm kind of curious if this is all coming about from a couple of the drivers that got hurt this year practicing at non-sanctioned tracks. And I'm wondering if they stepped it up because of the safety issues.
Well, see, they've always done that, too.
True. I mean, they have.
Yeah, in fact, there's Summit Speedway is up next to my hometown, and every so often they would go up there to test, like, their Sears Point car or their Watkins Glen car.
Yeah, I mean, who was it? Was it Brad? Was it Kozlowski?
Brad Kozlowski.
This year at Roadside America.
Last year.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, you get the practice time before they race, yes. But for some of the newer drivers, I'd almost like to see them make them have more practice time. Like, how they used to have
rookie practice. Well, the rookies had unlimited practice.
Right, they used
to. If you were a rookie, you could test any track at any time. It was once you became a veteran that you were limited to four tracks.
Right, but I don't think rookies have that open testing anymore either. I think they are limited as well now, which I can date myself and say I remember when they used to have rookie practice sessions. I can make myself really old, but, you know, this season, I guess what I'm seeing, though, is they're going back to old school, when the sport was filling the stands, when they were packing those stands to see the events and everything going on.
Back when they were filling the stands.
Exactly.
Back when they were packing it. Yes, that was the key word there.
They're going back to what the fans used to come out for. And maybe they're hoping that by doing this again, it'll help increase their attendance, because you're going to have to work for it. You're not just going to go, okay, well, no matter what, you're going to start. You have to earn it.
Yeah. And see, I think that cutting down the field in the Nationwide Series is going to get rid of a bunch of these Star Park teams, which, honestly, that's just a waste.
I agree. I hate to say it that way, but, I mean, I was very open about it. I had wrote an article on it, too, and I was like, do you want to race or don't you? You know, either you go into the sport as a driver and an owner, you know, a team working together, knowing this is the budget we need to fill, and set it. And if that means you can only run five complete races for the year, run those five complete races. Because for me, as a prospective sponsor, I would rather see you do the best with what you have for the longest amount of time versus see you take a couple laps and pull off, because that's not showing me your team and your driver's potential.
That's it. And Jennifer, the whole entire issue with the 71 car when she was with that team was that they wanted her to start park, and she basically said, bleep. So, yeah. But, exactly. And it's like, with Fancy Lawson, and they start announcing, like, positions and everything, and then they go through, and all these cars are out of the race, and it's like almost, I don't know, a quarter of the field.
At least some breaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some weeks in some of the lower series, it's at least that many that they just go in, they take a couple laps, and then they pull off. And I know some teams are doing the best they can with what they have, and I can understand that. But then there's other teams where, I don't know how to phrase it, you know, they're not there to race. They're not there week in and week out either. They just show up once in a blue moon, take a couple laps, and take that spot away from somebody else.
Yeah, like the ringers for road course racing,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, but see, they don't pull off, though. Some of those don't pull off.
Yeah, exactly.
The
they just go over there and they race because they want that win. I don't mind that. But, yeah, the Stern Park, that's annoying.
That would be like me pulling up to my local dirt track up here at Grandview, and I know I have the worst car out there, but I'm going to go in the late model field because I know I have the best odds of getting into it, and I'm going to take a lap and pull off because I made it. And it's like, well, how much money was that?
You get thousands of dollars for doing that.
Well, no, I agree with you, don't, but, you know, in the big time,
no,
yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. That's what they're doing is,
and,
well, yeah, I made the field. I just made $10,000. Now I'm going to pull off the field.
But when you think about that, okay, you've made that much money, but you've had to pay your entry fees. You had to pay for those tires. You had to pay for tires while you practice. You had to pay for gas while you practice. You had to feed your team. You had to get your team to that track, get that team accommodations while you're at the track. You have to get that car to the track in the hauler, which takes fuel. You got to get that hauler back to your garage. You have to go back to your garage and work on that car, because even though you didn't use it the whole race, it still needs some TLC because you've used it. Are you really making that much?
It depends, because, you know, if they're going in there with a skeleton crew, they may only use two sets of tires. Do a few laps for practice to make sure they won't crash during qualifying type thought. Do their qualifying lap, use those same tires to start the race and pull off. Heck, they might even use only one set. I don't know. But, and then the crew, the skeleton, and the haulers. Yeah.
But you still got to, you know, even if you have one person or four person, though, you still got to get them a hotel room. And it's,
yeah, exactly.
It's not cheap. I mean, you figure you're there for 3 or 4 days, depending on which division you're in. And, you know, it gets to be expensive. So I can understand, you know, some people thinking, okay, they're going to get a financial gain. But not in every case they're not going to. When you figure out all your expenses and everything like that to get in there and get your crew in and everything. So I guess it all depends on what that race is paying out, if the gamble's worth it or not. And what if, you know, you could have hung out there a little bit longer and say they're like Dover in the spring on lap 6 when you had 10 guys go out. You know, and if you pulled off at lap 1, well, you're still last. But if you could have hung out there for at least 30, 40 laps, you now could have been 20th, depending on how many other people pulled off before you. I mean, I know that's a gamble, too, the starting park. So I'll start to watch to see who's going to be the first one that comes in. And it's like, well, instead of making that gamble, see who's going to run the longest.
Yeah. That's just, I don't know. But, yeah, that stuff needs to stop. It's like, if you just park the car and there's nothing wrong with it and you find they shouldn't get paid.
That would make
it's
it like interesting. If you haven't shown an effort and you can't prove there's something wrong with the car, that would be interesting. I don't know if there's a way NASCAR could implement that. You know, I wholeheartedly believe in, you know, some teams, they do it because that's the only way they can get their name out there, even though it's that little bit of a time that they're on the track. But I think there's where our media and our broadcasters and everything like that can step it up and give them that little bit of extra coverage, because the more the media gets a name out there, as obvious reasons of somebody that we'll talk to in a few minutes, because they had a really bad weekend apparently Sunday, the more people get to know them, and then the more the sponsors gravitate to them, and the media continues to gravitate to them, and they become a focal point. Maybe if we would put all this energy into some of our other drivers who are struggling in this sport, we could help this sport grow.
Well, you got to give the fans what they want, and the fans want the big name.
True, but I guess because
if they start talking about, like, Joe Blow, all that, they're going to lose coverage. I hate to say that. I mean, let's take Morgan Shepherd, for example. If this was back in the 80s, early 90s, oh, yeah, he got plenty of TV time, and people knew who he was and everything. You go to a NASCAR event now, and you ask people who Morgan Shepherd is, just like a normal average fan, most people probably won't know who he is or what he has done. But if you ask them, like, who's the driver that likes to roller skate through pit road and everything,
or ride his bicycle,
people won't know that's Morgan Shepherd. So it's like, if they start giving him TV coverage, people probably would start turning off because he's not that big name, he's not performing type thought.
Well, and you know,
I mean?
And when you look through the past, I could probably mention some names, you'd probably go, huh? But if we don't give them coverage, how's anybody ever going to get to know who they are?
Yeah, well, but I mean, they want the actual.
They want those top 10 drivers. That's what everybody focuses on.
Yeah. Even throughout the 90s, like, I had this part, because, like, nobody watched racing at my school. I was the only person who would watch it. And then people would, like, try to test my knowledge or everything. And the only names that they knew were the bigger drivers. So,
that's true. That's the only ones you can name. But if you ask them who Kevin LePage's sponsor was back in the 90s, do you think any of them could say who it is?
It's number 16... Shoot.
I know what it is.
He wasn't with It was time for Ted Musgrave left Roush Racing.
I could tell you it's something I wish I had in my collection, if I had what his sponsor was, because they're probably worth a lot of money now, because I don't think they're made anymore. If they are, they're not as popular. And it's something that you would give to a girl on Valentine's Day, definitely.
Wasn't chocolates.
No, but some of them came delivered with chocolates.
Wasn't some like floral something? I don't know.
It was Vermont teddy bear.
I remember that.
Yes. I mean, and when you think about that, like, I can remember meeting Hermes Sadler before anybody knew who he was. And
mm-hmm.
he was signing a can koozie because that's all he had, and his sponsor gave him can koozies to sign. And, you know, I can't even remember who the sponsor was, but I remember the can koozie was black. But I cannot. I want to say maybe it was Stanley Tools or something like that, but I don't think it was them.
I remember he was one point sponsored by Applesauce. He was also sponsored by, like a missing children thing.
See, it's amazing when we think about some of the older drivers and stuff like that, but we have to really drill our minds about them because they weren't in the coverage, you know, like they are now. Like Rusty Wallace, I'm sure you can name his sponsor like it was nothing.
It was always like Miller and Kodiak.
Yep. I mean, it's stuff like that. We could sit there and go, okay, well, we know Rusty, we know DW, we can name all these, but when you start to name, like, Rick Mast.
Oh, Rabbiton, Skull, Bandit, Hooters.
Oh, well, that was a bad one to use. That's right, yeah. You guys remember the Hooters car.
I remember him being on his roof getting through the Trial of Talladega.
And he couldn't get back out. And he couldn't get back out the window because it squished too small.
Yeah.
He's not hurt. He just can't get out of the car. And I remember
him driving the number 75 Remington car. And I think it was after that he retired due to carbon monoxide poisoning.
And let's see, who was the one that the car disintegrated? I think it was in Indy at the time. He disintegrated his car and then he came over to NASCAR. Is that Derek Cook?
That would have been, he died from AIDS. I can't remember. Tim Richmond.
Someone else had an SD1 too.
And Tim Richmond, it was at Michigan. He just totally shattered his Indy car, and then he came to NASCAR.
I think Derek Cook did something similar, if I remember correctly, too.
No.
Hold on. Now you got to make me search it.
The pure layer, number 10, pink car, pink and white. I have the rear bumper of that car in my bedroom acting like a shelf. When the Daytona 500 due to a flat tire on Dale Sr.'s car on turn 3. Passed him in turn 4. And that tire is still in the RCR museum.
Kevin Cogan, maybe, is the one I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't remember. That's bad. I remember it, though. They crashed really bad there, and then switched over. I think he did one or two, not many races.
Okay. That would be why I wouldn't remember.
I could probably mention Jeff Andretti. And which, what are you going to think of for a racing series?
John Andretti?
No, Jeff Andretti. Jeff Andretti is Mario's other son. It's Michael's brother. He crashed at Indy, had both his legs injured severely, and came back to NASCAR and ran in the truck series.
Oh, see, I didn't get to watch much of the truck series.
He was, because I remember watching him at Nazareth in the truck series.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been able to watch truck series that much.
All right, we'll bring you back up to modern time. How's this? What's your thought on A.J. Allmendinger being back in a car?
I knew it was going to happen. I just thought he would still be with Penske, but I knew he was going to be coming back.
And what's your take on him going into the Phoenix Racing car, which if they keep him until next year, so these people still scrambling for rides?
I think it's kind of funny that he's basically following Kurt Busch's footsteps. It's like, hey, Kurt Busch was in this car, I'll get in it. Hey, Kurt Busch was in this car, and I'll wait for him to drop a call.
Okay, well, now, Kurt, you're going in this car. I'm just going to wait for you to get out of that car. That's bad. Funny, though. Oh, could you imagine if he keeps doing that, too? It's going to follow him around. I mean, but being he's never openly, honestly been up front with everybody and told everybody what it was, or...
Well, even NASCAR, so it wasn't like a hard drug. It wasn't like something like the Jeremy Mayfield thing.
Right. But would you, as a car owner, feel comfortable at this point? Would you be putting any stipulations in?
Clean, and if you ever take a look at the rule book, normal everyday items are on there.
Oh, yeah, Tylenol's on there.
That could get you in trouble.
No,
yeah,
Tylenol,
I mean,
no Aleve. Technically, too much caffeine can knock you out of it.
Yeah, you drink an energy drink, you can get knocked out.
I'd be done with it. Like our energies I drink, I would have issues.
So as long as it's not like a hard drug or something, and they knew what happened, I don't see the problem. As long as, like, hey, it's fixed now. Because, let's see. I don't know if I should be... I should say, I have a friend that works there, or works in NASCAR, and she's on the crew. She got in trouble over some sleeping pills. Like, she had a prescription for it, but so did her husband. And it was the same brand, same pill, just a different dosage. And she accidentally took her husband. The next day she got tested and was suspended until the next drug test could be done. And I was like, it's just in the rules.
Right. And it's the same way in motocross, too. They can nail us for any little thing. Like, if I do have the 5-hour energy, I have to make sure I save all the little bottles and go, okay, here you go. Here they are. You know, just in case or anything like that. And, you know, sometimes it does happen. I know I've been somewhere and I'm going, my head's killing me. I need something. And if I don't have a lead with me and they go, here, it's Motrin, you know. One of the first things I have to ask is, well, does it have Advil? Is it ibuprofen-based? Because I know I can't have that. But other than that, as long as it's not something I'm allergic to, give me something to make the headache go away. You know, that's how my brain
goes
sometimes. Oh, you use goodies. You use Richard Petty's version, huh?
I'm telling you, that stuff is the best stuff. And like, I have a hard time swallowing pills, so I use the Goody's powder. And I'm telling you, the hardest thing I've ever taken as far as, like, drugs-wise and everything is Goody's Red. And people who use Goody's know what I'm talking about, the Goody's Red box. And that's for, like, you know, if you play sports, you get broken bones and everything, get, like, a bad knee or something, those are, like, that's what you go to for, like, a painkiller. That's the hardest thing I've ever taken. It's like the hardest thing I will take. The Goody's Blue, that's your normal, everyday, like, Advil type thing.
Yeah, see, I'm stubborn. I'm old school. But I have to try that. I have some. I have to try it. Now,
the Goody's is older than that.
It's never been
mainstream. It's always been Tylenol, Advil. No, Goody's. I'm telling you, it's better. And people think it's weird because of, like, it's being in the powder form. They think, oh, it's going to be this nasty taste. And it's like, look, you take a drink, you don't swallow the drink, put the powder on your tongue, take a drink, and it's gone. You don't taste it.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and unlike the pill, you're not like, I'm going to try to swallow it, and you're struggling to swallow it. And since it's also a powder, it acts like right then.
Here you go. Are you ready for this one? We're going to talk about this topic, even though I always go to something else, because we always say something more interesting.
Okay.
Danica trying to wreck land and took herself out.
I thought that was funny. Hey, I thought his response to that was funny, too. He was like, maybe they should teach her that when you try to crash somebody, you don't take yourself out.
I don't understand this. She said, one of her quotes was, at some point I have to stand up for myself so this doesn't happen with other people. Apparently they were battling for
various
positions. You know, and she's in the back. She's 30th place. She and Landon and some other drivers have also said the same thing, you know, that he's saying the reason he hit her is because she was driving like a maniac in 30th place and put us all at risk. Well, he's not the first driver to say that. And I'm going to agree with that. If you're in the back of the pack, there's no need to get nasty. You're in the back of the pack for a reason. Just stay back there. Just log your laps and get used to the car. Get used to the track so you're better.
Yeah, and the IndyCar drivers, they complain about that, about her. She comes over here and goes and asks her, and they're complaining about the same thing.
And now she admits
and every,
she did it.
Every time she's, yeah, and every time she's in some incident, she's like, oh, well, I just can't take it anymore. I guess stand up for myself. And it's like, no, you need to stop being such a...
Well, and she just acts like the world is out to get her because she's a girl. It's like,
yeah, and she,
you're in a bright green car most of the time. It's not like they can't see you. Maybe
they do go daddy commercials.
Well, and not only that, maybe it's not them not being able to see her car. Maybe it's they can't get around her because she's not holding her line sometimes. You know, the first thing that you learn in racing is hold your line. If you're new and you're starting out, hold your line because that person who's better than you can get around you and you're both going to keep on going and you're not going to get wrecked. And instead, if you try and wiggle around and get out of their way, they're going to bang you.
A few years ago in Indy, there was a race, and she was with Andretti Racing. I think it was Scott Dixon. I think they were coming out of a turn. And you know how, like, the drivers, when they come out of a turn, they go up to the wall?
Yes.
Like, yeah. They were doing that.
The way the forces are pulling.
Yeah, and then she came down on him, took him out, and she's like, well, if you look, he came up on me, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, he was going through the turn, and the turn ended. You're still turning.
Yeah.
After the turn has already ended. And got on David Letterman and just badmouthed this driver. I think it was Scott Dixon. And I was like, the hell? And, of course, people who don't know anything about racing or how these cars act in coming out of the turns and going in turns and how to cut a turn, it looks like Danica's right if you don't know what's going on.
I like this
but
other
thing.
This other thing, too, here, it says, depending on who you speak with, Patrick's large fan base or her veteran crew chief, Greg Zipidelli. She was either standing up for herself on Sunday, which is from her fans, or giving her crew unnecessary extra work. I kind of agree. That's unnecessary extra work. It's called composure, holding your temper and keeping your car out there as long as you can so you're not getting zoomed in on while you're wrecked. I mean, I know attention is attention, but come on.
I'm sorry, but all she is a tool. Literally, she's just a tool.
And you know who I feel bad for out of all this?
Yeah.
I feel bad for Newman going into next year because he's going to be in that shadow that she cast. No matter how hard he works over there, how good he does, it's always going to be. And here's where Danica finished. And it's like, well, what about Ryan? I mean, I know Tony's had his time in the spotlight, so I'm not worried about him. He's used to the spotlight. He's, you know, he's going to share it. He made the decision to have to share it with her, so that's his choice. He's going to have to deal with it. But poor Newman. He just gets overshadowed in all this, and I just don't agree with it.
Well, when Dan Rosett won his first Indy 500, he had to make T-shirts. I'm the guy who actually won the race. Because they're all talking about, he called it a lap at the Indy 500. Dad called it a lap. Oh, my God, Dad called it a lap. Did you see the race? Dad called it a lap. Did you win? No. And there was, like, nothing about Dan Weldon won the Indy 500.
Yeah, I know. It's like, really? So she led a lap. Did she lead the last one? No. Next.
Yeah. But, no, it's like every time she's saying, like, when I'm going up the road, you're on my friends list. You see my Facebook. So you see me go off. Oh, yeah, every post, like, NASA comments
about you've
that.
You've seen some of my posts already, too, so.
Yeah, so I get people that would comment, you just don't like her because she's a girl, and it's like, also, you don't know about me. And for the longest time, I had Jennifer Jo come, and I, as the profile picture, it's like, look, I cheer for this chick, this chick, this. And it's like, how dare you come to me and say, I don't like Danica just because she's a girl. It's like, if anything, Danica has made the racing world for women worse. She has not improved how women are perceived in racing. She has made it by the stereotypes of women in racing.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I can't say I'm a fan. I cover because that's what the fans like, but I'm one of those ones that I'll be blatantly honest with you. I want performance before you get all that hype. If you're not a top driver, I can understand maybe even if you were top 10 week in and week out type of thing, okay, I could maybe justify this coverage. But when you just drop into the Cup Series to get seat time and okay, she is top 10 in points only in nationwide only because of, you know, your ringers that go down in there and everything like that have helped her out to make sure she stays in there. But
if the Cup passer in there or
where
still making points, she wouldn't be anywhere near where she is.
Exactly. You know, I need results. I need rock solid results to have a sponsorship level as high as she does and have the results that she performs just doesn't relate to me. These two things just aren't meshing. It's like button heads. You know, when I see drivers who are struggling, and I'm going to throw a name out there, like Timmy Hill, who worked his butt off and could use a good sponsorship like GoDaddy, but gets drowned in all the blitz over her. You know, or Jeremy Clement, you know,
awesome
these different drivers and stuff like that that just get hidden. Like when Chris Wallace comes out there to race, or Johanna Long, or Jennifer Jo Cobb. You know, if you're going to give one this much attention, give it to all of them.
I think the performance is part of it, but yeah, she hasn't performed. She hasn't done the performance.
Yeah, it's just.
And to have like Hendrick cars where the other drivers, I think, they just get whatever junk car they can get their hands on. I hate saying that. But, like, Johanna, she got an RCR car, and look how good she was doing until she smacked the wall. But she had an RCR car for one race and was doing excellent. And people were talking about her and all that. And now it's like, well, yeah, she's in the race. Because she's using borrowed equipment. Jennifer Jo Cobb, she has to use rare equipment when she can get a hold of it. Or whatever car, truck she can get her hands on. It's always secondhand, hand-me-down equipment for all these girls.
Exactly. And it's just not fair. It just isn't, but that's just how it is sometimes. Now, give me one second. I'm working on one thing here.
And I agree with, like, Amber, Angelia, and Cook. Give them the same card Danica Patrick has, same equipment. Let them go out and see if there's really a difference between them and Danica. But yeah, let's put Danica in one of these piece of crap cars, one of these hand-me-down, it's been raced for like 5 years before they got a hold of it. And let's see how well she does then. Because she's doing just badly with brand new equipment, top of the line equipment. And they're, yeah, I could see her whole, her owner, whole, be able to stick with it with the equipment that they're dealing with.
Exactly. You know, if you think that, you know, she has it so well and everything like that, well, then maybe make her step out into somebody else's car, too. You know, make her realize and make her be grateful for what she has. I mean, she's getting the best of the best equipment that even some of the guys would dream about having. And then she just wrecks it and is just, I don't know, it just shows me maybe her lack of concern of, oh, well, they'll just fix it for me and there'll be more cars and who cares? Oh, well. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of how it appears from that. You know, oh,
she's
I wrecked
not.
The car, I'm out of the race. Oh, okay.
Well, they hate me because I'm a woman.
Yeah, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
If I was Zip and Deli right now, and if I was Tony, I'd be like, guess what? You're not racing Texas. You want to do that to my equipment, you're going to learn how to play nice or not play at all. But
yeah,
I know he's not going to do that. That's just not what they're going to do, and it's a shame.
Because, like, Tom Pace, she's nothing but a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
She's a driver. She's not a race car driver. She's a driver. She can drive fast. She can drive a car fast, but she can't race.
I don't even know if I'd go with fast, but okay, we'll leave that out there.
Yeah, there's a difference between driving a car fast and actually racing.
Exactly.
She can turn laps and do the speed. She can do that, but she can't race.
But she can't do it for a full race.
Yeah, well, she can't handle the traffic, and she can't get into it with other people without then getting out of her car and stomping her feet with her arms crossed and going,
oh, I know. It's like, really? If I wanted that, I'd go back to high school sports. But
I always think it's funny when the camera shows her, she's literally stomping. Not like, you know, Kyle, they get him a hard time. Because, like, he made three something, then he storms off. But she pulls the three-year-old temper tantrum with the arms crossed or the arms out straight, like, stiff, and the legs literally going up and down like a cartoon stomping.
Yeah, I just don't get that. And if I was an owner, I would not tolerate that because I don't care if it's publicity or not. You're supposed to be a good person, a good role model, and if you're going to act like that, you're not being a good role model.
See, I was a fan of hers when she was in the lights and back when she drove for Letterman, because she also used to do Power Block TV. That's where, like, she gained most of her fame was. She used to host the four TV shows on Spike TV. I think at the time it was still TNT, TNN, and there were, like, car shows, and they're still on. Chrissy Hansen does it now.
Hmm.
I think that's her name. But, yeah, it's on the weekends, but she was the original host, and this is back when she was doing Indy Lights, and she seemed intelligent. Then she seemed like a good racer. I know it's like, once she got into full-blown Indy and all the fame started, she just changed.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, I'm going to let you go quick. We're going to have somebody calling in a few minutes, so I'm going to let you go. But I want your pick first, Danny. Who are you picking to win this weekend?
I'll just go with Kyle.
Oh.
I always pick Kyle. So I'll go with Jennifer Jo Cobb in the trunks.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold you to your picks. So if they don't win, I know where to get you.
Okay.
I'll be on Facebook picking on you because I don't even know. I don't know who should I pick this weekend. Let me see. Who should I pick? Who should I pick? Who should I pick? You know, and I was just looking at it, too.
We all know who Sydney's going to pick.
Yeah, we don't even have
to. The guy I dislike more than anything.
My oldest son likes him, so, you know, I have to be nice because he likes him. He's a good role model for him, too, and helped him out. So
he's not a role model.
Well, for my oldest, he is. He's been a big helper with everything and making sure he stays on track in school because, he school can be rough sometimes, and unfortunately bullies still exist, and he's just one of the subjects they like to go after. But he's got his Jeff Gordon to look up upon, so he's all good. But my Tony needs a win, and he needs a win badly. So I'm going to have to go with him. He really, really, really needs a win. So I'm going to have to pick him. How's that?
All right, so you got Tony. We all know that who Cindy's going for. I got Kyle. Chucks, I got Jennifer. I don't think there's a nationwide race this weekend, is there?
Let me see. No, they are off this weekend. So, well, thank you for joining me. This is going really fast, and I hope you're going to stay listening because now we're going to have somebody calling in that's going to help us preview the new show that's coming up in the Garage Talk lineup, which you already know a little bit about.
Well, I got to experience the test calling, so
yes.
It's so fun.
So I'm going to let you go, and Scott's going to be calling in just a minute to get us hyped up for this Tuesday's debut. So it's going to go live this Tuesday. So.
Okay.
As long as Hurricane Sandy is cooperative, because the eye is supposed to come right towards our town. I'm like, yay!
All right.
But thank you for joining me.
Oh, no problem.
And I will talk to you later on in the week.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Danny. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, that was Danny, and I am so glad he just joined us for the last hour. And like I said, we are getting ready this week to start the third show in the Garage Talk Live family. And I know Scott's getting ready to call in here in just a minute to help me get this going and debut it. And I can't tell you how excited I am for this show. This show is going to be something that we've been wanting to have in our lineup for a while. And the opportunity just came together. And literally, it just fell together in like out of nowhere type of thing. It was one of those things. We were all together at the same place, the same time, and it happened. So let me bring him on. Hello, Scott.
Hello. How are you tonight?
I'm hanging in there, and I'm surprised my voice has lasted this long.
You're doing good.
Aw, thanks. So are we all ready for this Tuesday?
Well, you're never ready for a new adventure like this, but I think we're going to get ready as far as we can and just go with it.
So you want to tell a little bit about what's going on and fill them all in? Because I haven't even given the name or anything yet.
All right. We're going to be launching a new radio venture on Garage Talk Live called Lowdown and Dirty. It's going to air Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, starting this Tuesday. We've had two test shows that have been pretty successful. We've gotten through some technical glitches, and Tammy, who is our executive producer, has helped us get all lined up here. We're going to have two gentlemen hosting this show, Brian Whippy Whitman and Joe Adams. They are dynamite together, very entertaining. You're going to have me on the switchboard, I guess as the producer, you could call it, and trying to bring guests in as we have call-ins and so on, and I think it's going to be super, right? The test shows have gone well, and you can go on Garage Talk Live and listen to the latest one that we just recorded last Tuesday, and, give us an idea what you think.
I know. I can't wait. I mean, this is going to give our local racers the credit they deserve. I mean, we always hear week in and week out all of the, you know, the Tony Stewarts and the Jeff Gordons, everything like that. But now we're going to hear the Jeff Dwayne Howards and the Jeff Strunks and the Ryan Godowns, and we're going to know what's going on in the area.
Yeah, we've got two individuals here in Joe and Whippy that are very connected to all forms of racing, big car, small car, all around the Northeast and beyond. And they will keep you entertained. You know, along with being kept entertained, you will hear the stars of this area giving their plans for next year. You know, their weekly takes on how the racing went. We're going to have owners on. We're going to have track promoters, columnists. It's going to be great. I really think we're going to hit a home run with this show.
I think so, too. And I know we're working on possibly Bridgeport coming up.
Right. That's one thing I haven't mentioned yet. We're going to have, with the availability to go out to racetracks and have live broadcasts, that is going to be something special, something else I don't think anybody's ever brought you in local radio coverage for dirt track racing. So I think that's pretty sharp. We actually did that at the Sixer this year, didn't we?
Yep, that's how this all actually ended up happening, because we couldn't get a good enough internet signal up there and had to go to Plan B and try to figure out how to make a show work with just a telephone.
Yeah, people would be surprised the quality of radio you get here with the little bit of equipment you need.
all you need is a phone
and pretty
drivers
crazy.
To come on down and visit and hang out. And if anybody's seen the pictures, no, they were hanging out in the back of my car because we only had one little spot where we had reception.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's exciting, though, because, like you said, this isn't something anybody has the capable of doing or has done either. You know, we're going to be able to go to different shows and different races and different events, and we're going to have live feeds before the races start so we know what's going on.
One other thing that we're looking at doing before racing starts next year is going to shows like you mentioned, Tammy, the motorsports show down in Oaks, PA. It's put on by Lenny Sammons in conjunction with his racing paper, Area Auto Racing. We hope to be doing a couple live feeds from there over that weekend. I don't have the dates in front of me when that is, but we're gonna keep you up to date on those kind of activities as they come up.
Yeah, we'll get the date real quick. This year's times, it's the 18th through the 20th in January is this year's show. It's actually a week later than what it normally is.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they kind of bounced around the Chili Bowl, maybe to make it a little bit easier.
Could be. That absolutely could be. We're gonna have some local racers from around this part of Pennsylvania and New Jersey going to the Chili Bowl this year.
Oh wow, that'll be good.
We'll have those on before they go. Hopefully.
We have that, and maybe the Reading show. Work something out for that week too.
Haven't talked to anybody about that show yet, but that's a possibility also. Absolutely.
I know reception up there is very good. I can vouch for that because I've been there in years past. Maybe possibly we'll be doing something down here at Coventry, which is down this way also.
Right.
We're like bebopping all over the place.
Yeah, but I think what the key is that we want to cover local racing to the level that it's deserved, you know, in the past, and nobody's been able to bring it. And I think we'll be able to bring it.
I think so, too, and I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, pretty much right now our local racers, they get exposure in Area Auto, and there's a couple shows. I know MPV out there in Lansdale, they try and do a weekly update and everything, but in 5 minutes you can't update 20 tracks. It just isn't happening,
right.
You know. And it's going to be good to hear from the drivers and hear what their thoughts are and their take is on everything, and also trying to follow them through the season, see how they progress too.
That's right. I mean, we're going to follow modifieds in the area, but you know, we're not going to just limit it to that. We like to go to small cars at the Kutztowns and the Lindas type of tracks, but also get out to Central PA and I know Whippy has a big passion for the Central PA area and sprint cars, so he has quite a few contacts out there that I know would love to come on the show and give us an update as they progress through the season also.
And that is awesome. I can't wait, you know, and it's going to bring more diversity too. Monday nights, the primary focus is on, you know, NASCAR and NHRA. Thursday nights, we have a little mix and match of everything, and now we're going to have Tuesday nights, which is going to be all of our dirt racers.
Yeah, and I think that's great. Us hard and fast dirt track racers say that the asphalt is used to get to the racetrack.
That's true. The dirt's to have the fun on.
That's right. You know, and that's how we look at it, but we have respect for the asphalt folks, and definitely, asphalt racing out in our area of the country is definitely alive and well. We got some nice tracks out this way that do that. But on a Tuesday night, we're going to be focusing on dirt track.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
And hopefully weather cooperates too this week, because, you know, we want to make sure Sandy goes away from us the way it's coming.
Isn't that the freakiest thing? I mean, we're just getting over last year at this time having quite a northeaster and a snow event, and 1 year later, here we are.
Halloween again.
Halloween again, and hopefully this is a rain event and not a snow event this time.
Oh, I don't know, but I'm really not liking this trick-or-treat surprise every year. I could do without it.
No, I could really do without this, you know.
Yeah, because
I know. So I went out today and got some more lamp oil for our kerosene lamps and, you know, some more propane, and just in case we lose electric again, you know.
Well, unfortunately, if that weather hits, we all know where I'll be.
Yeah.
Last year, I forget how many calls they said, but it averaged like 1.5 calls an hour during the storm that we had with the fire department. So, you know, trees down and getting out to everybody. I know we had trees on the house, trees on wires, trees across the road, and all that fun stuff. So,
well, I appreciate our emergency responders up here in the Northeast. That's absolutely sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, bulk of us out here are volunteers. You know,
right.
We go out there and do it and still go to work.
Yeah, exactly. So I think people have got to have a keen ear and eye on what's going to be coming up on Lowdown and Dirty. We have some things in the works that are going to be pretty dynamic for the next few shows. Can't let the cat out of the bag yet, but we are working on some great stuff. Some big announcements here, just as the racing season's coming to a conclusion. There are people out there clamoring to make some big announcements, and we're trying to get them to coordinate them with our show and the release into the local media. But hopefully they'll hold off and work with us on getting the news out. Just had another possibility for big breaking news today that was going to work into hopefully our radio show, and Lowdown and Dirty will bring it to you first.
And just think, I think we have one other thing we're working on too for the 17th of November, possibly a red carpet show.
Right. Tammy's had this crazy idea, and as people will get to know Tammy more, she has crazy ideas that she expects. She expects all kinds of help from her friends to pull off these crazy ideas. But, yeah, Tammy wants to – this will be something new that nobody's ever tried before. She wants to, at the Grandview Speedway Banquet this year, have a red carpet event with Lowdown and Dirty being the center of attention there, interviewing drivers as they come in on the evening, and have a red carpet deal. I think that's what your plans are, right, Tammy? Maybe you can fill us in a little bit more. Maybe you've bumped up some more stuff over the last few days. Who knows?
Oh, I don't know. Some of the stuff I've had, who knows?
Yeah, right.
But my goal is, like, I know from years past, I've gone to the banquet, everybody gets there, and we all just kind of, like, sit there and stare at each other. Like, okay, now what? And instead of that happening this year, we're going to try and catch some of the drivers as they're coming in, some of your top drivers, and talk to them about their year and help pass the time a little bit until dinner is served.
Right. So, anybody going to Grandview Banquet this year, make sure you bring your smartphone device so you can log on to the internet and listen to the show as you're preparing to put the feed bag on at the banquet, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then afterwards, we'll go from the show to celebrating and honoring all of the drivers and teams and officials and everybody who's helped make this year a success and have a little fun. And after that, the camera will be turned off and then we'll all have a little fun.
Right. Yeah. What goes on at the banquet stays at the banquet.
What goes on after dinner at the banquet, after all
right,
the awards are
right.
given out, stays at the
right.
banquet.
Absolutely.
Up until that time, until those lights goes out, it's fair game to take pictures.
That's exactly right. So I don't think anybody else has ever brought you something like that, so expect Lowdown and Dirty, produced by Garage Talk Live, to bring you events like that.
And have fun. We can't wait.
And to have fun. And I think, you know, that's our mission statement going into this whole deal. We got this group of people together, and we all discussed when we got together what we wanted out of this. And I think the repeating theme that each of us talked about was we want to have fun. We're race fans that just want to have fun and bring the news to everybody that we're able to get pieces of because of where we are in the sport. And having some super fans aligned with their connections in the sport, we want to bring that kind of news right back to all the fans.
You're right, and like you said, the combination between Joe and Brian on air is amazing. To hear them going back and forth with each other and discussing things, and then when you chime in and all too, it's the perfect combination.
We think so. Like I said before, people need to go listen to that test show. We had a little bit of technical difficulties early on in the show, so you might want to advance like to the 6-minute area. But to get a feel of what the show's going to be like, have a listen. We had one of our good friends, Jeff Pfister, on the show as a trial guest, and that was very entertaining.
It was. I loved it.
he brought it that night, and boy, he jumped right in. I think we're going to have Jeff back as the fans' fan, and he delivered a good dialogue with the guys, and we had fun.
We'll have to type it all up so Joe can read it since he doesn't want to listen to himself.
Yeah, we have one of our co-hosts, Joe Adams, that won't listen to the show. He's like one of those movie stars that never went to the theater to see them at their own movie, you know? even though Joe's not a movie star, we don't want to get him off big head. He's having problems fitting through his shop door now, you know?
Oh, no, already?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's like the next coming, radio. And it's like, Joe, come on.
Oh, he can think like that. He's doing good.
Yeah, yeah. It'll all be good. This week, I think we can probably make the announcement now that next Tuesday's show, we're going to have Brett Dale on. Brett's is already making some announcements on his plans as promoters of some special races. He's already releasing some news, so we're going to have Brett on and get an update on his past season and what he has planned for next year.
Very cool. I cannot wait till Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And we're going to knock on wood that the weather steers a little bit of us so we have a good night and that we're not stuck on fire trucks or without power because that wouldn't be good.
No, I guess we're going to have to find a generator we can plug into our production equipment there and, broadcast no matter what.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of equipment we have to plug in.
Yeah. Yeah.
We might be doing the show by candlelight.
We could very well be, but, yeah, because I'll tell you what, it's amazing how much equipment we gathered up already. How about it, Tammy?
I know. It's like you keep looking going, wow, start it with nothing, and it's like, oh, wow, we have a full room ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. If people would see that, and when I think we know a photographer or two that might be able to take some pictures of our setup, that we'll be posting on our Facebook page, which will be released shortly, from what I understand.
I wonder who that could be.
I have no idea. But we're trying to get this person to take some photos of our studio and the principals that'll be participating in this grand event.
And we have to decorate the walls, too. We need some...
Yeah.
We'll have to get the photographer to print some pictures out to decorate.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if we know anybody. I guess we'll have to call that Chris fella.
It's going to make me cough. Oh, I think we're going to have to got a bad word on this show.
Yeah. We're going to probably, yes, people will probably have some words that will be banned on this show. They necessarily won't be curse words.
I don't have to move any signs or anything like that and make sure there's no glare, right?
No.
Just checking.
No.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is just half of what you're going to hear on this show. It's going to be a little out of the box, probably something you've never heard before, which means you think that's good.
And when they think that they couldn't fill up an hour, don't worry. They'll have no problem filling up 2 hours.
No. No. Yeah, we've you know, our co-host has, like, gotten a little skittish about, oh, you know, we don't think we can fill the time. I said, no problem.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said tonight, too, but I used what you did for us Tuesday night, and I'll tell you what, that's my new thing now for shows. That's how I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Works perfect and keeps you on track and keeps you flowing.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I guess Joe's nicknamed me the enabler, so. So that's, you know, I enable the craziness that's going to go on in this show, so it's going to be fun.
And we'll have to make sure I get pictures, too, when we start popping up all the stuff that we have in there and when different things are getting used and everybody's reaction to it. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah. So, stay tuned.
Sounds like a plan.
The craziness will begin Tuesday.
On Mischief Night.
Yes.
They'll be up to mischief, I'm sure. Watch out for Frank.
I might have to park my car at a different place or something like that so it doesn't get
relettered.
relettered.
Who knows what our cars will look like?
Who knows what they're going to look like exactly?
Well, no, because we won't let them leave. We'll be able to see what they're doing.
Well, yeah, we might have to place a guard out there or something. I don't know, but
we got.
Yeah,
we can use
it's going to be mischief night here up in our neck of the woods, if you will, and little shenanigans goes on that could disturb one or two people, you know.
Oh no, we're in trouble.
Yeah. So hope everybody enjoys what we're going to bring them.
Oh, I know they will. Trust me, I know they will.
It's just, we really haven't released this. I mean, a few of our friends know about what's going on, but we really haven't made it widespread, which it'll be coming out in the next few days.
Yep.
On social media and other places. I just don't know what the reaction is going to be. I'm so excited to see how many people get on board with it.
Oh, I can't wait. I tell you what, this is something our area's needed for a while, and I am just so excited that these guys... You know, and this opportunity came together. If it would have been for that day, the 76er, this would have never happened.
Yeah. And Joe, and on behalf of Joe, Brian Whippy Whitman, and myself, I'd like to thank you, Tammy, for making this venue available to us. And I think good things are going to come of it. But again, we really do appreciate everything you've done up to now.
And I appreciate you guys, you know, and the way you saved me that day. Because if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have been able to get through that first broadcast.
We would all be sitting over there saying, who's this crazy lady in behind this Jeep? You know, what is she doing?
Fussing around with microphones and computers and everything else.
we may need to help her out.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
And I am just so grateful. I'm just so excited. You know, it gets to be a lot, and these guys are going to open it up that we can get to more tracks now and cover more events going on, and it's just perfect.
Yeah, I think it is. So let's get to it.
That works.
Can't wait. Yeah.
That'll work.
As when I get off of here, I've got some computer time to get together and make some contacts for the show, so it never ends. When you get into something like this, as Tammy knows, it gets to be a little consuming at times.
Yeah, but in the end, it's all worth it.
Right. So, a lot of news breaking up here around the dirt track world. So, you know, come Tuesday, we're going to bring it to you.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for coming on and letting us know what's going on and getting us all ready for this week.
Yeah, great. And thanks for having me.
No problem. Well, thank you again. I appreciate it.
Have a good evening. Get some rest. Tammy has been under the weather the last week.
I'm going to. After I get done the show tonight, I have a little bit of homework to do for my marketing class, which, as I'm learning, all my hard work and studying and everything is paying off, and we'll be able to make that announcement soon, too. And
Stay tuned.
More stuff coming out with that, you know.
Yeah.
If everybody didn't think I had a crazy, hectic life to begin with, it's gotten crazier.
It's gotten worse,
But it'll be worth it because it's something I've been working for all my life, so
it's
worth it.
So, we've got a lot of news to give to people in the next upcoming weeks.
Yeah, and we're going to keep them, just keep watching for all the press releases pumping through.
Yeah.
We got to get them finished up and everything, and I'll get that over to you, and we'll have everything ready to go.
All right, super.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you again.
On behalf of Whippy, Joey Adams, and myself, Scott Dio, tune in to Lowdown and Dirty on Tuesday night.
Sounds good. 8 o'clock Eastern time on Blog Talk.
You got it.
All right. I will talk to you later.
All right. Thanks.
Yep.
Bye, Dan. Bye.
And there you have it. That was Scott getting us ready for this Tuesday night for the newest show in the Garage Talk family. It's Lowdown and Dirty. They're going to be bringing you all the dirt track racing action. And just because it's wintertime here in the Northeast doesn't mean the season's winding down yet. They're still going strong. There were 4 different tracks running in our area this weekend alone. So there'll be lots of news and results coming out of that for them to talk to you Tuesday night. And don't forget Monday night, Vince will be back. Going to do everything I can to make sure I'm well enough to be on the board working it for him so he doesn't have to miss this week. That was all my fault. You can blame me. I had to go down to EDR and get checked out. But Vince will be back this Monday night, 8 o'clock, on Blog Talk Radio / Garage Talk Live. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Garage Talk Live, and check out what's going on there. There's going to be press releases and stuff like that. Don't forget, too, to go check out our sponsors. Girls Getting the Facts has an awesome sponsor. It's Cadence Candle Company. They are right here in Pennsylvania. I know they just relocated to their new location, and I can't remember the town that they just moved to, but they're still in the Boyertown area. It is a family-run company, homemade candles. Awesome, awesome place if you're looking to do a fundraiser for your race team, for your Girl Scout troop, for a Relay for Life team, whatever it is, get a hold of them. Phone number is 610-960-5677 or go to facebook.com, Cadence Candle Company. We're going to make sure the links are up on the Garage Talk Live Facebook page, and they're going up on our website too. And check them out. I mean, you're going to make so much money off a fundraiser with these guys for their candles versus what you would do through any of the other companies that are out there. You got to check them out. They have flameless candles that are safe to use in your Scentsy burners, and they have some of the burners too. So you don't have to worry about the kids being around a hot fire, open flame, or anything like that. You have those options. They make palm candles. They make all different types of candles. There's so many scents, so many colors. There's beer mug candles you can get. You can even get green beer. I think you might have a couple of them left. So make sure you check them out. And also go to our website, www.garagetalklive.com. We just started redoing it every year at this time. We always revamp it and refresh it and change it up a little bit. We're adding all the shows on there. There's a new way for you to get all the news and the press releases. There's photo galleries now on there that are a little bit easier to get to. Plus, our gallery is always at almondphotography.smugmug.com. There's about 2.5 years of photography work on there right now from different events in the area. So make sure you keep an eye on any of our social media sites to keep up with us and know what's going on. And don't forget to tune in Monday night to Vince for our original show in the lineup. That's what's gotten us all started, Garage Talk Live, Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time, Blog Talk Radio. Tuesday, we're going to have Lowdown and Dirty. And Thursday nights, it's going to be Girls Getting the Facts. So make sure you tune in. And until then, we'll see everybody back on Monday night. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the racing, and don't forget to cheer on your favorite driver. See ya.